Welcome, and thank you for taking the time to listen to the Word of God released through Randolph Barnwell. Randolph is the founder and senior elder of Gate Ministries, Durban Central. Be encouraged to access free additional resources for your edification at randolphbarnwell.com. Great grace, peace, and mercy from Christ be multiplied to you as you listen to this teaching.
Lift your hands to the Father. Heavenly Father, here we stand. As we lift our hands and open our hearts, we're ready to hear you, your voice, your speaking, your instruction, your ordinances, and your counsel. Father, we ask that you speak to us line upon line and precept upon precept. Teach us, Father God, how to live on the earth from a heavenly platform. We ask, God, that you just do a sovereign work even as your word comes forth. We thank you that your word is yes and amen. Your word is sure. We have confidence in your word, Father. Your word, Father, will never fail us. Your word is rich in power. It is our daily lives. It is our daily bread. And so, Father, we stand as a family. We stand with hearts open wide to say, speak, Lord, your servant heareth. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. Amen. Well, family, this morning I will continue. There's been 16 sessions of faith already spoken, and it's all on the website for those who need to investigate and see what was done in previous sessions. And so this morning, my layer that I want to bring is just to add. It's just to bring another building block to the concept of faith. And it's just to emphasize that what we have been doing thus far, there's a reason for that. There's a reason why God has spoken to us and spoke to us in the way he did. Amen. I'm going to ask our media team to put up Hebrews chapter 11. I went back to the beginning of it all when we started the faith series. And in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 2, it says, for by it, the it is faith, the men of old gained approval. That men of old, the elders, gained approval. In other words, they gained a good report. Verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Verse 4 says, by faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained a testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, through his death, he still speaks. Verse 5 says, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Let's go to verse 8. By faith, Abram, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself received the ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. There's many more if you read chapter 11, but let's stop here. And I went back to the start of this faith series and I asked myself, what does all these characters have in common? What is the link between Abram and the elders and Abel and Enoch and Sarah? And this is what I came to understand, that these individuals implored their faith not for the gaining of stuff, not for personal gain. And yes, that has its place. We sometimes trust God for a better fridge. And we do sometimes trust God for a better car. and we trust God for school fees, and we trust God for varsity fees, the stuff. But these people were of another ilk. They took their faith and they used it rather for the advancement of a higher call. A purpose beyond themselves. Something, and maybe they had needs, and maybe they had lack and shortcomings, but when they used their faith, it was never for that. It was for something deeper, something more profound, something more powerful. It's an expression. They use their faith to express the intentions of God. And that led them to comply. And it was all about, my faith was for eternal matters. Not for the mundane things of, can I make it through the month? Yes, that has its place. But when I look at the lives of these people, they never asked for bread. They never used their faith to ask for stuff. It was for something majorly beyond themselves. And it's exactly this understanding that I saw through in the lives of these people that led me to a portion of scripture that we will dissect this morning as a case study. And the purpose of it all is to say, if these people use their faith for something much bigger than themselves, it is an example to us that my faith is for something much bigger than the things that I right now maybe lack. The things that I right now maybe need. I need a permanent job. It's real. I need a permanent job. I need a promotion. I need an increase, financial increase. I need my kids to be settled. I need to see this right and that avenue right in my life. But for now, my faith will not be for that purpose. Because the Word of God wants us to have faith to function and to finish. And that is what I want to speak to us this morning about. Faith so that I can function, but also so that I can finish. Amen. The Bible, I was in grade 12 when my Afrikaans teacher asked me, what is the best book in the whole wide world? And everybody was thinking, what is the best book to read in the whole wide world? I had no idea. There's so many books we can mention. But one guy, and he was the naughtiest in the class, he said, sir, the Bible. I don't know where you got that revelation from, but the educator says you are 100% correct. So he was about to teach us literature. And he used that question to say, if you want to know about symbolism and types and shadows and personification and alliteration, and if you want to know about similes and all metaphors, read the Bible. This is the book loaded with those kind of imagery. And he says, if you want to really sound deep, read the Bible. I was very confused. But anyway, I found him many years later that answer was the right one. So let's read this morning as we go into the Word of God. Matthew chapter 21. And I'm going to read verse 1 to 10. Matthew chapter 21. Verse 1 to 10. It says, when they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything, you know those kind of people. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and laid their coats on them, and he sat on the coats. most of the crowd spread their coats in the road, and others were cutting branches and trees and spreading them in the road. The crowds going ahead of him and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred. The Bible says, other versions says, all of the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" Amen. This portion of scripture, family, verse 1 says, he sent out two disciples. And we know in the apostolic, we call two, it's the principle of witness, the principle of agreement. The Bible says, where two or three are gathered, there he is in the midst of them. The Bible says, when two or three would agree as touching anything, it shall be done for them. So we know that there should be a sense of agreement in the lives of these two. In verse 2, he says to them, go into the city. The go is the apostolic principle. It's a sending principle. Okay? Also in verse 2, it speaks about a donkey and a colt. A donkey to me represents a resource that can carry cargo. A colt speaks about the father-son dynamic. A colt is a foal, but it's a male. So there's the father-son dynamic. And he says, go and fetch these dynamics for me, called a resource, a donkey, and a colt. Fetch me the father-son principles. And then he tells them, they are tied to a post. Please untie them and bring them to me. He says to them, actually, listen, in the posture where you will find them, they are not fully operational. They are not living to the degree wherefore I created them. So untie them so that I can use them according to why they have been created. Bring them to me. Verse 3 says, and if anyone says anything, on this journey we have these people, if anyone says anything. And sometimes you want to do so much, but there's these people. They're called skeptics, critics, and they have this inaccurate speaking that comes with them. God says, don't worry, just fetch. Leave these people. Fetch the donkey and the colt. So the Lord has need of them, verse 3 says. The Lord has need of them. There's a duality, the them issue. He doesn't need the one, the foal, he needs them. Speaking about the unity and the oneness of the faith that always should be amongst those who carry grace. The Lord has need of them, so he wants us to fetch them, untie them, and bring them for the use of the Father. Verse 5 is very powerful. This is to fulfill scripture that was prophesied many, many moons ago. It is to fulfill that which was prophesied by the prophets of old. If you loose them and untie them, I can manifest myself. If you loose them and untie them and bring them to me, I can show the nations my face. And he will sit on the colt. He will sit on sonship and display to the nations what he actually wants. Amen. So what do I glean from this portion of scripture, family? I glean this. The donkey, and being somewhat of a farm boy myself, as a child we went to the farm every Christmas. And I've seen this happen many a times on my granny's farm. You go fetch the donkey, the mother donkey, but she's got a foal. The foal is not going to stay in the field, and the mother gets taken to go and work and do something on the... And I was amazed. Here is this donkey put into a cart with another donkey, but this one's got a foal. The foal is running next to them because he's not going without his mother. I cannot go without my father. I cannot function unless I run next to my father. In step, in sync, following suit That is the principle that I gleaned from this donkey. What do I know about donkeys on the farm? You put them in a plow, they can plow the whole day. You might need water. You might need food. But the donkey can carry on. What do I learn from this animal? He's got longevity. He's got stickability. And he does not tire easily. So I realized, so if Pastor Randolph speaks about the camels are coming, then I'll speak about the donkeys are coming. Those with stickability, those with longevity, those who can go the distance and not tire out. Amen. Jesus on the donkey represents to me mandate. This house and the body of Christ, the wide global body of Christ has mandate. And we need to ride that mandate into the cities, into the countries, into the highways and byways. Ride it in on a donkey. The donkey carries Jesus. Jesus is precious cargo. He is resource to the nations of the earth. And we as sons of God, we have the ability to carry grace. And to steward grace. And to give grace to the nations. When Jesus comes into Jerusalem, they giving him, that city, the grace carrier. And he comes riding on a colt. Sons, you and I must be willing to make our backs strong. To be posture ourselves. To do the work. And to do the will of the Father. And to bring fulfillment to prophecy. Amen. To showcase the glory of God to cities beyond ourselves. In my workplace. At home. Wherever I find myself. I always have this in mind. The faith that I have is to showcase the glory of God to the nations. Ride it into the earth, family. Let your speech be that of faith, seasoned with salt, to express the love of God to the nations. Let my actions be that full of faith, so that when they look at me, they say there's something that you have. It's called the grace of God. It's called, I'm putting on for you the display of what my Father looks like. Amen. The world needs representation. The world needs to see him. They hardly read the word. They don't study like we study, or like the body of Christ study the word. So we have to then manifest it. Become the donkey that rides grace into their worlds. Amen. And so Jesus himself is an influencer. As a son, he's untied from the post. You and I need to be untied from the post. Maybe we're still standing in that other city, tied to the post. We can't function and do great things for God tied to the post. We have to be loosened, untied, and being brought to the master so that he can use us. And Jesus says to them, fetch me the donkey, fetch me the colt. An untied son is a son that can shift atmospheres for God. An untied son is a son who's a sharpened arrow in the quiver of the master. An untied son can influence those around him. Jesus influenced at a local level. He influenced 12 disciples. Then he influenced at a city level, the whole of Jerusalem sang his praise when he influenced their lives. And then ultimately, he influenced the globe, you and I. You and I. And the body of Christ across the nations of the earth. All over this planet, there are sons in this world that influences. But we were influenced by a son that was untied from the post. The effects of us being untied is felt far and wide. Our faith and our obedience will usher in a dimension that when we have faith, we will function, but most of all, we will also finish. You see, this could have been Jesus' last ride of glory. Because after this, the shouting turned into something totally different. Let me not run ahead of myself. As Jesus rides into Jerusalem, he's a son that's untied from the post, and he's the catalyst that will express his father's honor. He takes a posture of humility so that prophecy can be fulfilled. And so he opens up an expression of worship that Jerusalem has never seen before. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So they start shouting and screaming and dancing and give to him the worship that is due. Sons that is untied from a post can cause others to come up to a place of worship, can come up to a place when they can express what they thought they never had inside of them. The Bible says they threw their coats and their cloaks all over the place. What did they do? They gave of themselves. They gave of their resources. This is an untied son, not standing stuck at a post. Untied, loosened, and ready for the master to use whatever you have. And so they gave their clothes. They gave their voices. They gave their singing. They gave their giftings. They gave their prophetic unctions. That spirit inside of you that says you are an intercessor, they gave it for function. That spirit inside of us that says you are a prophetic worshiper, they gave it for purpose. The skill, the talent that God gave you and I, it was never to glamorize my life, but always that the very purposes of God might be fulfilled in the earth. Amen. They gave themselves. Others went and they cut off branches from trees and they strew it on the path for Jesus to ride over. Speaking of physical labor, some stuff needs to be done physically. I need to put my hands to the plow and do some stuff. And a son that is untied from the post does this with ease. Because he's graced when he comes into the presence of the master. And the master can then use him for service. Use him for purpose. And so Jesus rides into Jerusalem. And when these people sing and shout at us, what are you all really seeing? Is it just a man on a donkey? Or is there a revelation and an understanding of what you are seeing? I think for many of them, they saw my help. This is my help coming in here. This is my way maker that's riding in here. This is my hope. This is the one that understands me like no one else understands me. And from that place, they worship and they express themselves. They saw accurately when they said, this is the son of David. They saw with prophetic sight. They didn't see Mary and Joseph's boy, the carpenter's son. They saw and they said, this is the son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And it's from that vantage point where they express their worship and their praise. But most of all, they're looking at a son that's untied from the post. They're looking at a son that has destiny for them. Their worship expression took on a total new dimension that day. Verse 10 says they were moved. Any son that's untied from the post, brought to the master, and the master is using in service, has the ability to cause a move. You can cause a move. We need a move. This is the move. We need a move of God. But the move of God is something inside of you that needs to come out and challenge and be a catalyst to others and say, God himself can untie you from the post, take you to his presence, and use you for his glory. A son that's untied from the post as someone who was held stagnant. You were stuck and you had no effect. In the Western movies back in the day, the cowboys, they rode on horses most of the time. And when they get into a town, there's this little post in front of normally the bar. And they would get off the horse and tie the horse to that post. These donkeys were tied like that. You and I were once upon a time tied to the post like that. It took the special grace of a father to look at us and see that we need change. Amen. An untied son, you and I, are carriers of grace. We carry Jesus. We carry the word. We carry the kabot of God. And we don't have to carry it for ourselves. We carry it into the cities and into the nations. And what is our purpose of carrying all this weight of glory? It's to showcase the face of God to others around us. It's not for popularity. It's not for glamour. It's not for, please tap me on my back. It's not for that. The patriarchs of old knew that. If I have faith, if I'm strong in my faith, it is never for my own glory. It is for the purposes of God. And nations will bow. Nations will come and worship. Nations will come and say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. When an untied son steps onto the platform. And lavishly they will obey. Lavishly they will come and they will worship. Lavishly they will say, I give myself to the King of Kings. Now the question is, family, what are the things that keeps me bound to the post? Because the Master really wants to free us and loosen us. Because he has need of us, the Bible says. The Master has need of them. Why do we pull back? Why do we retract? Why do I say I am not the one? Why do I remain stuck at the post? It's maybe because of my past experiences. There's things in my past that always speaks to me and tells me, you do not qualify. You're just a donkey. You don't qualify for great level of service like what the Master needs to do. Maybe it's hurts, the hurts of the past. But we have to get to a place where we can cut that off. Cut that off. Free ourselves from that and move forward. Maybe you're just tired. You are the donkey that has done so much for the 94 years that you are in the kingdom, and you are just tired, exhausted, and actually you prefer to be tied to the post because of many years of service in the house of the Lord. And somehow your biggest complaint is, I've been on this journey for so much time, for so long, and I still don't see the glory that I want to see. This journey is about the Father. It's not about me. And as long as I abide in Him and He abides in me, I'm cool. I'm fine. And I need to continue life. And maybe there's in your life the fear of the unknown. I can't be untied and go and carry Jesus. Go and carry the work and do what I need to do. I can't do that. I fear the unknown. What if they say, who's she? Who's he? What if they say, since when, Ken? What if they say, I thought she's shy. I thought she... Those voices, if any man says something to you, those people, and maybe that makes you retract and you say, I would rather stick to the post. God wants us to walk on water, and you don't want to walk on water because you're going to drown. You're fearful. Fear cripples faith. Maybe you feel you have a sense of unworthiness. You do not qualify for many, many reasons. But God Himself wants you to know that you qualify. And maybe you say to yourself, I'm just a small donkey. How can I carry such a prophet, such a man of God, such a the son of the living God? I am not a thoroughbred stallion. Maybe he needs a thoroughbred stallion. Because if we prefer a thoroughbred stallion, beautiful animal, donkey. Jesus shows us donkey can take you the distance. Thoroughbred runs fast and stops. But donkey has the qualities to finish, to go very far. Let's learn from this donkey. In the past, in past seasons, when we go through much, we would say we are under severe attack by demonic forces, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and they are attacking my life. And based on the fact that I'm under such severe attack, I need to pause in my journey. I need to just sit down and do nothing. I'm going to say to you this morning, family, you yourself need to take the ropes that's holding you to the post. Untie yourself. Some stuff, it's so way back ago that we really need to not think about that anymore. Those hurts and those injuries and those pains. Because if I build a tent, I'm never going to move forward. And I'm never going to be used by God as a vessel that would carry grace to the nations. You see, when they tie the donkey to the post in the movies, it's like this. A head hanging down posture. All I see is sand and dust. I have no vision, no view that there's a master that thinks of me better than this, what I'm seeing right here. And so when he unties you, he says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be he lifted up, ye everlasting doors. For the King of glory wants to come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. He is the King of glory. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be he lifted up, ye everlasting doors. Remove the ropes that says, stay stuck. Don't move. Have no vision. Have no view of a better future. And so I want to say to us this morning, family, untie me so that I can function. As long as the donkeys were tied, they couldn't function. So God Himself will sometimes send you two brothers to untie you. And bring you to the master so that he can use you. And sometimes he will use two brothers to lead you to Jesus. Sometimes he will use two brothers to show you a better way. Sometimes he will use the brotherhood, the sons in the house, to tell you of a better way. A way of liberty and freedom, of newness. And I, the donkey that was tied to the post, needs to be willing to then come to the master and carry the load. Carry him. I also need to avail myself for the sake of the cause. And I need to allow grace to ride on my back so that grace can be carried into the cities, into the nations of the earth. And when I think in my donkey stature that I'm carrying Jesus, he's been carrying me all the time anyway. So who's the true carrier of grace? Jesus is. And why I represent a carrier of grace? I realize that the biggest carrier of grace can ride on me. And so the master needs you. This church needs you. Your church needs you. Your spiritual father needs you. Your household of faith needs you. The master has need of you. And then he says, I need you because I trust you. I trust you. I trust that the thing that I need you for, you the one who can do this thing? And then he says, as the master, I am confident. I am confident that you have what it takes. We need to tap into that. You have what it takes to carry Jesus into the earth. So untie me because I need to function. Untie me because I have to do the bidding of my Father. Untie me from the post because I have something to give. It's not branches, it's not trees, it's not clothes. It's a grace and a gifting, an installment from the Holy Spirit that I need to give. Not only to this household locally, but to the nations, to the city church, to the global mandate of God. I have something to give. You have something to give. And if we don't give, we behave like donkeys tied to the post. So God says, untie my sons because I need them to be a finishing company. Let's not do the work, leave the work undone. Let's start the work, do the work, and finish. An apostolic company is a company of people that knows how to start, not give up, but knows how to finish the work. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey and he reveals to them his kingship and his lordship. And that day they sang and they danced and they worshiped Hosanna to the highest. They said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, Hosanna to the Son of David. It was those same voices that says, give us Barabbas. When we start, we must know how to finish properly and not finish inaccurately. The same worshippers chose Barabbas when it was time to choose. But still Jesus continued his journey because finishing, that was what he's all about. Finishing his Father's doings, that was what was in his forefront of his mind. The final ride proclaimed him as Lord and as Son of God and as King of Kings. And in his heart he knows, I need to finish. Right now it's all glory and all powerful and goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life as I ride into Jerusalem. But there's gonna come a day when I'm in Jerusalem carrying a cross, walking towards Golgotha. And some will spit on me. Others will look at me in disdain. Others will say, give us Barabbas. Others will not even help me. Others will turn and scoff and look away. But they then sang about my glory. We must be the people that finishes accurately. That finishes the way we started. If we say he is the Father over us, we need to take this testimony to the very ends of the earth. Until the very end. I don't give up and change my flavor of worship along the line. Amen. So my encouragement to you is, let's serve the Lord. The Bible says serve the Lord with gladness. I want to say to you, serve the Lord from an untied position, from being freed from the post, because it's only when a son is untied that he can respond to the call of the master. Only when a son is untied. The master has need of them, says the scriptures. A them company, it's a plurality, it's a corporiety, it's a brotherhood, it's an assembly of brothers. I have need of them. Not I have need of it. Them. This company of people walks hand in hand. Hand in hand, like we sing. It's a hand in hand company. This company of people is a company who speaks from a spirit of oneness and agreement. The master has need of those people. And he says to us this morning, every son matters. From Terence right down to Kule, every son in the body of Christ, in the global church, matters. Every son matters because every son can bring forth the face of God to the nations of the earth. Every son is a strong carrier. Say to yourself, know this always. I am stronger than what I think. My mindset might say to me, you are not strong enough. You are not good enough. You are not the chosen vessel. You should have been maybe a thoroughbred black stallion in all its glory. But the Father says, you are enough. If only I can untie you, bring you to me, and I'll carry my purposes of into the nations of the earth on your back. We carry the Master into the city. We carry the Master's word into the city. We carry the Master's face globally. We showcase the Trinity to the nations of the earth. I want to encourage you, don't shrink back. Don't shrink back. Don't give up. Don't pull back. Don't become reluctant. Hear the voice of the Father. Do not be reluctant. Those are the things that keeps us tied to the post. An untied son, like the patriarchs of old, gives rise to history, to the influence of the body of Christ in the earth. We don't only build here locally. We also build in the city. We also build globally. Most of all, we build transgenerationally. When our children can take this further. When our children's children can take this message further into the world. It doesn't end with us. So in our building, let's not stop. Let's not go from Hosanna to give us Barabbas. Because then we cause a break. Then we cause a stumbling line in the flow of God's work. Our children and our children's children, your children and your children's children must walk confidently in these scriptures. And we have to show them now how to do it. It's our job. It's our responsibility to show those little ones this way. This is the way. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. I cannot be born again, but tied to a post. What's the difference between me and that person in the world? If I'm saved, born again, washed in the precious blood of Jesus, but tied to a post. God has no value. There's no value. There's no use for that configuration. Am I tied to the post? Will tell me, yes, you're in the kingdom. Yes, you're a son of God, but you're functioning in an inferior way. You're functioning in a way that's not the level. Not what God has always intended for you. Yes, you're saved. Yes, you love Jesus. And you love the songs. And you love the word. But internally, you're stuck to a post. So I cannot use you the way I need to use you. Do we hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to the church this morning? The Master has need of you. He uses donkeys that are freed from the post. He uses sons that let go of the ropes that held them to the post. He uses sons who says the ropes equals limitations, and God is not about the limitations. He wants to ride into cities, ride into families, ride into households, ride into countries, north, south, east, and west, and showcase his Father. And he does it through a son that is freed from the post. And so the camels are coming. The camels are here. But even a camel tied to a post is of no value to God. A camel can carry much more than a donkey. A camel can go much further than a donkey. A camel can carry a load 5 times, 6 times, 10 times heavier than a donkey. But even a camel tied to a post is of no value to the master. Let him who has an ear hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to the church. So what do I say is the conclusion of this matter? Our faith is to connect us to God, not to make us glamorous. Our faith is to be deepened in a love relationship with God and to inquire in His holy temple. To ask like David, when to speak, where to go, what to say. My faith is for kingdom purpose. My faith is for kingdom purpose. Our faith is to build a more accurate reflection of our Father God in our earthly journey. Our faith is to build a more accurate reflection of Father God on this earthly journey. So when I ride into my Jerusalem, let them see the Father. Let them see God. And so there's a demand to not just have faith, but to increase our faith to greater faith. And that faith is for functioning and it's for finishing. That's why we want greater faith. When I need a job, I need permanency, I need money, and yes, seek first God, and all the other things will follow in that faith. Amen. The patriarchs in Hebrews chapter 11 showcased to you and I that it was about doing the Father's business. So all the accumulation of information and revelation after 16 sessions of faith, it is not to make me clever. It is not to make me clever. It's for me to reflect the Christ into the earth so that I function not only locally but also in the city and globally from a place of my faith is to do the business of my dad. And to finish my dad's business. We are that company. I want to say to us, you and I, we are that company that wants to mirror the word of God to each and every person out there. Amen. And show them a better way. Most of all, show them a more excellent way. And sometimes in our places of work, God gives you that one thorn in the flesh, colleague. It's him or her that needs to see the man riding on the donkey. We have to display to them a better way. Display to them a more accurate way. A more excellent way. Let our faith this morning arise. Let it increase. And in our increase, it's for him to ride upon us the purposes. Not only into our local church. Not only into our city of Durban, not only into our country of South Africa, but across the globe. Let him ride his purposes on us this morning. Amen. Let's bow our heads. My Father, my Father. Holy is the Lamb that sits upon the throne. The whole earth is full of His glory. He is my joy. He is my peace. He is the carrier of grace. Father, Your word, so powerful, so awesome. It changes us from the inside out. And here we sit, here we stand, Lord, to declare that we have faith to function and to finish. But to qualify, we need to untie ourselves from where we are stuck. Can someone raise a hand to the Lord this morning? Look upon us, God. Great is the mandate of this house. And it needs sons that left the post and joined the master to carry grace into the earth. We humble ourselves, Father. We want to break free from every hurt, every pain, every mindset, every thought pattern that says we are not good enough. Every thought pattern that says, not me, rather them, rather they, rather that other one. We break free, Father, from the ropes and the chains that keeps us to the post. Because you cannot use us if we are stuck at a post. We lift our hands to say, we need you. Untie us, God. Untie us. Because great is the assignment. Great is the assignment. You are our peace. You are our peace. You are the strength of our lives. You are my light and my salvation. In whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? You are the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I trust in you, God. I untie myself this morning.